ولا تهنوا في ابتغاء القوم إن تكونوا تألمون فإنهم يألمون كما تألمون وترجون من الله ما لا يرجون وكان الله عليما حكيما. We continue with the verses of Surah An-Nisa, beginning from verses 104 and onwards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to speak of jihad and the requisites that pertain to jihad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse states that in jihad, do not show weakness, do not falter when you pursue your enemies. Do not stay back, do not show weakness, and do not show any kind of display that you cannot pursue them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages that the purpose of jihad is to make sure that the enemy does not fight against Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues and says, إِن تَكُونُوا تَعْلَمُونَ فَإِنُّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. They, if you have become restless and if you suffer from restlessness and if you suffer in jihad, then they also suffer, like you suffer. But for you there is hope. وَتَرَجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. For you, you have hope, raja, ummeed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they do not have any raja, they do not have any ummeed, they do not have any hope on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that do not show or display any kind of weakness, do not falter when you are pursuing your enemy, but keep after them and fight against them and do your utmost best in trying to vanquish these forces who are against Islam. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-wise. In the following verses, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ كِتَابِ بِالْحَقِّ لِتَحْكُمَ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِمَا أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ. In these verses, there's a very interesting story that is the cause of revelation for the following verses. There was a Muslim who was pretending to be, he was a munafiq pretending to be a Muslim. He was a hypocrite pretending to be a Muslim. And this was in the initial stages of Islam, prior to an abundance of wealth coming into Medina. So it was during that time. And it was difficult to find food during those days, before the days of prosperity, before Medina became prosperous. So this munafiq, his name was Tu'ma bin Ubayriq, actually. And he would satirize the Prophet ﷺ clandestinely. He would do it secretly, so people would not know that it was him. But this was the mode of combat, you know, verbal warfare. They would, you know, satirize the companions, certain people, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just to mock and just so that they could undermine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his authority. So this Tu'ma bin Ubayriq, he was from the tribe of Banu Zafar. And he stole some armor and a bag of grain from a companion whose name was Qatada bin Nu'man. And what he didn't know, what he did was that he drilled some kind of hole into his home. And then from that, you know, because in those days, homes were made of, you know, not like bricks that we see these days, baked bricks. It was just mud and thatched roofs. So they didn't have homes that we see over here. So this person, he drilled some kind of hole and he took this grain that belonged to Qatada bin Nu'man, and there were some arms resting on top of the grain, and he took that as well. But what he didn't know is that there was a hole. There was a hole in that bag. And that hole in the bag was the thing that gave him away. And this happens at home. I mean, it's not something which cannot happen. You know, sometimes we have a bag of sugar and we don't know that there's a hole, but we look behind and, you know, behold, there's a whole line of sugar, or there's a whole line of flour. So this person, Tu'ma bin Ubayriq, he took this flour to his home. And he realized that, you know, this was the situation, that he noticed that there was a line of flour. And instead of trying to erase it, instead of trying to get rid of the evidence, he gave it to a Jew for safekeeping. He gave it to a Jew for safekeeping, that hold it for me amanatan, hold it to me as a trust. So the Jew, not knowing exactly what his motives were, he said that, okay, that's fine, I'll keep it for you. So the next day, Hazrat Qatada, he noticed that his arms and this bag of wheat, it was stolen. So he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He noticed that the wheat led to this Tu'ma bin Ubayriq. And he asked him first. And Tu'ma bin Ubayriq, he swore by Allah that, you know, it was not me. And this was, you know, the munafiqeen. This was their way. This was their method. That they swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, you know, it was not me. And this is one of the signs of a hypocrite as well. Their purpose for swearing upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is because they don't even believe in Allah. This is why it is one of the signs of hypocrisy, that one swears and when that promise is not kept, it is as if he does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this was what the munafiqeen would do. They would not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus it was very easy for them to swear and take oaths that by Allah this and by Allah that. Of course, this is something that is which is prohibited. Now, this person swore by Allah, and the matter was brought to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made due investigation, and ultimately the investigation led to the Jew, who said that, you know, this was given to me amanatan. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was leaning towards the Muslim because he was, you know, he was pretending to be a Muslim. He was feigning Islam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not aware that he was a munafiq. And the tribe, his tribe Banu Zafar, were also saying that it would be better if the Jews were accused of this crime, that this crime was perpetrated by the Jew instead of a Muslim. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was leaning towards that based on the evidence which was apparent. There was, the evidence was that he had the bag. He had the bag and he had the arms. So basically it was his word against, you know, a Muslim's word. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam aware of this, of the complete situation, that this person is a munafiq, and you are putting your trust and your faith in this individual, this person who stole from a Muslim, a true Muslim and sincere Muslim, Qatada bin Nu'man, and you're accusing someone who is innocent. He did not perpetrate this crime. Rather, this crime was perpetrated by someone else. Now, this Tu'ma bin Ubayriq, once he found out that the judgment was going to be against him, he ran away. And from Makkah, he would satirize the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many poetries. It was called Hujub. You know, the poetry which satirizes or which disgraces a person, they had a name for that. So they would call it Hujub. And ultimately this person was killed, and he died without iman. So this is what the coming ayat in Surah An-Nisa, it centers around this whole episode of Tu'ma bin Ubayriq, and how he stole from a Muslim, and how he gave whatever he stole to a Jew, and how his tribe would help him, and how the Prophet ﷺ was also leaning towards what this hypocrite was saying. So it continues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ لِتَحْكُمُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ بِمَا أَرَاكَ اللَّهِ, that we have sent, we have revealed this book to you, we have revealed the Quran to you, O Prophet of Allah, with truth, so that you may arbitrate between the people with the insight that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you insight, clear insight. Right? This is, this ilm, this knowledge is ghaibi knowledge, is knowledge of the unseen. This is only known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, to some degree, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given ilm ghaib. Of course, we're not going to say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alim bil ghaib, similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is a quality only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only specific to Allah. And this quality cannot be found in a man. Yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to some degree, he was given knowledge of the unseen. But every single thing, no. This is only specific to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet and says that this is the purpose of this Kitabullah. The purpose of this Kitabullah and Quran is so that you may arbitrate between the people with the insight that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. Because the Quran, it serves as a guide. It serves as a guide. It serves as a manual to ascertain the haqq, to distinguish between the haqq and to distinguish between the batil. This is what it is a criterion. It is to establish justice. This is the purpose of the Quran, to make things clear. Things that are ambiguous, to make them clear. This is what the Quran does. وَلَا تَكُنْ لِلْخَائِنِينَ خَسِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that do not be an advocate. Do not be an advocate for those who breach the trust. Do not be that person. And this mas'ala is often asked, that would it be permissible to become a lawyer or someone who is a litigator? So it is permissible, provided that this person is not an advocate of those who are lying clearly or breaching the trust. That he can only defend those who are completely innocent or claim innocence or whatever is apparent, because we arbitrate and our judgments are based on whatever is zahir. Whatever is zahir, whatever is clear, whatever is apparent, this is what we base our judgment on. And we are not responsible for things that we do not know. So this person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, وَلَا تَكُنْ لِلْخَائِنِينَ خَسِيمًا. Do not be an advocate to those who breach trust. Do not defend them. Do not in any way support them. And do not fight for them. Do not fight their battles for them. So do not, because this was what the Prophet ﷺ was leaning towards. He was leaning towards the innocence of this Tu'ma bin Ubayriq and his people, who were clearly wrong. They had clearly perpetrated this crime. They accused an innocent Jew. Right? And this was the justice of the Prophet ﷺ as well, that he would make due investigation. He wouldn't just, you know, order that this person should be committed or this person should be punished in any way. Rasulullah ﷺ would always make sure to make a very thorough investigation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains to the Prophet ﷺ that do not be an advocate for this Tu'ma bin Ubayriq and his jama'at. Wastaghfirullah, and seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seek repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inna Allah kana ghafurur rahima, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is oft forgiving and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. Wala tujadil anil ladhina yakhtanuna anfusahum. Do not argue on behalf of those who betray themselves. Do not argue for those who betray themselves, on behalf of those who are betraying themselves. When a person commits a sin, then this person is not betraying anyone but himself. When he commits, if he lies, if a person lies, if a person steals, if a person cheats, if a person does ghibah, if a person slanders, if a person has jealousy, he's not harming anybody but himself. He is harming his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this person is not harming another person. He is harming his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do not wrong yourselves. You are wronging yourselves. You are destroying your akhirat. Your akhirat is being destroyed by committing sin. وَلَا تُجَادِلْ عَنِ الَّذِينَ يَخْتَانُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not argue for those who betray themselves by committing wrong and by committing sin. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ خَوَّانًا أَثِيمًا. So it is not permitted to argue for those who are committing clear sin. If they have committed sin, and you know they have committed sin, you know they have done wrong, and just because this person is a close relative of mine, he is a very close relative, or he is a very close friend, and you know he did wrong, but that does not give us a right, it does not give us any avenue to support that person in any way. We cannot support sin. If something is clearly wrong, it is against the Quran, it is against the Sunnah, it is against the teachings of Islam, then we cannot support him, even if this person is our family, even if that person is our brother. Although sentiments will be there that this person is my blood, but this is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would not falter in any way when it came to the hukum and judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He clearly said that if my daughter Fatima stole, then her hand would also be cut off. Her hand would also be cut off. There was no nepotism, there was no favoritism when it came to the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When it came to the judgments and rulings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was no favoritism that this person, he's a respectable person. The judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is clear. We cannot go against it. We cannot disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's judgment and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ruling. We at all times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be obeyed. At all times. And just because someone is our family, yes, there's a tactful way of doing. If you're going to say something against, you know, someone who has committed sin, yes, there's a tactful way to do it. But in no way should we support someone who has perpetrated a crime, someone who has committed sin. And this is the ruling of Allah, this is the hukum of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the mandate of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not argue for those who betray themselves by committing wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the betrayer, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the sinner. Someone who does ifrat, someone who is excessive in his khiyanat, in his betrayals, right? Someone who betrays the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who commits sin, he is betraying Allah, he is going against Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him so many things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, showered him with favors. This person is a betrayal. This person is a betrayer of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has betrayed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him food. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him drink. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him oxygen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him so many, has showered and conferred upon this person so many favors. And this person, by committing sin, by committing wrong, he is betraying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes that. When we give our children something, when we give them money, we shower them with money, we shower them with a gift, and if that money is used wrong, it is used incorrectly, that gift is used incorrectly, will we not feel betrayed? Of course we will. Any parent in his right mind would feel betrayed that this computer is being used for wrong, this TV is used for wrong, this is used for wrong. I mean, these are things that we get for our children, but we don't want our trust to be betrayed. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is how he looks at it. He looks at it as a betrayal, that I have given him so many things, I have conferred upon him so many favors, so many ni'mats, and this person has betrayed me. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the betrayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the sinner. يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. They think they can hide from the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is continuing his talk on these munafiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining what is in their hearts. They think they can hide everything from the people and what the true matter is. Yeah, maybe you can hide it from the people. Maybe you can hide it from your mother and your father and your brother and your sister and the people in the masjid and the community. But you cannot hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. You cannot hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is omnipresent. The omniscience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is absolute. We can hide each and everything whatever we do in school, whatever we do at home, we can hide. But we cannot hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sooner or later, we will have to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, protect us all and grant us all the tawfiq and the courage to stay away from sin, to stay away from perpetrating any crime. So we can hide from the people. وَلَا يَسْتَفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ We cannot hide from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's impossible. وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ إِذْ يُبَيِّتُونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when these people are planning, when the munafiqeen, when they were planning that, you know, let's accuse the Jew. You know, let's accuse this Jewish person by, you know, saying that, you know, he has it. You know, this bag is with him, the arms are with him. Let's accuse him. Instead of, you know, putting the blame on us, instead of the Prophet ﷺ putting the blame on us, let's blame it on the Jew. Rasulullah ﷺ already has a treaty with them. We are already Muslim, so the Prophet ﷺ automatically supports us. So let's blame this Jew, who was innocent. Bichara iska to koi kusoor bhi nahi hai. He had nothing. He didn't do anything. So let's accuse this person who is completely innocent. Bichara bola hai. He is very naive. He's a very naive person and he has no clue what is going on. And this happens even now. That people who are naive, people who have no idea what is going on, people who are shrewd, they blame them. That, oh, iska hi kusoor hai. People who are shrewd, people who are, you know, just thinking ahead as if it's some kind of, you know, chess game, they just blame those who are innocent. That let's blame this person, he's not going to say anything. He's, you know, patient. Let's just put the blame. Let's just shift the blame from us to him. Let's make him a scapegoat. And this is something which is haram, extremely haram to blame. And it's coming in the verses, in the following. This is something which is very wrong, to blame something, someone who is completely innocent, doesn't know what is going on. I mean, he just took this amanat as to show good faith and goodwill. He took this amanat. And he didn't know what was transpiring behind his back. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with these people who are making these plans. إِذْ يُبَيِّتُونَ When they are making these plans in the dead of night, right? Because this is when plans are made, when a person feels he is completely alone. So he makes plans, right, to prove his innocence or to make sure that whatever he does, no one knows about it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with that person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with him when they are making plans. مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقُولِ And they are making plans which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. They are saying things, they are doing things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is going on. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا يَعْمُلُونَ مُحِيطًا Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them that his knowledge is encompassing. His knowledge and awareness is encompassing. He knows each and everything a person is doing. It's absolute. So what are we trying to prove by hiding from the people? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. We shouldn't be afraid of the people. We should be afraid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be afraid of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to ask us on the Day of Judgment. That what have you done? What have you done when I favored you with so many things? What have you done? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ha antum, ha ula'i jadaltum anhum fil hayat ad-dunya. These are the people that you are fighting for in this world. These are the people. You are supporting them, you are fighting for them. These are the people. No, these people, they don't deserve your support in any way. You think that you can support them, you can advocate on their behalf in this world, but guess what? فَمَنْ يُجَادِلُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Who is going to advocate for them on the Day of Judgment? Well, you will leave this world. You're going to leave this world. You're going to leave this world and you will leave everything behind. And on the Day of Judgment, these people who are supporting you today on a wrongdoing, what are they going to do tomorrow in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will they be able to hold themselves in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? On that day, when there will be nothing but justice, will they be able to say what they say in this world in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Absolutely not. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ يُجَادِلُ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ In front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is going to advocate for them? Who is going to support them? أَمَّنْ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا Who is going to defend them? Who is going to defend these people? You are supporting them today. You support these people today in this world, hayat al-dunya. You are doing it in this world. But in the hereafter, on the day of judgment, you will not be able to advocate for them. You will not be able to help them. You will not be able to defend them. So, in front of Allah, this is how it is. No defense. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will is going to be absolute on that day. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوْنَ أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ يَجِدُ اللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, after saying all of these things, after chastisement, after making the people aware of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after making people aware of the chastisement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then says, even then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has rahm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mercy. That whoever, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوًا, whoever commits, whoever perpetrates a wrong, or he wrongs himself, oh yazlim nafsahu, he wrongs himself, he betrays himself, wo apne aap pe zulm karta hai, usne apne aap ke upar zulm kiya gunah se, he's doing zulm on himself, this person is oppressing himself by committing sin, by perpetrating sin, he is harming nothing, no one but himself, so he's doing zulm on himself. What is zulm? Zulm is wad'u shay fi ghayri mahallihi, to put something somewhere where it doesn't belong. To put something somewhere where it doesn't belong. To put anything where it doesn't belong. You are committing the sin. It is not befitting for a man to commit sin. We at all times, it is the responsibility of the human being to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what taqwa is, to obey and not disobey. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that whoever commits, whoever perpetrates a wrong, or wrongs himself, but he seeks repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ. He seeks repentance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَجِدِ اللَّهُ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا. He will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very merciful. This person, he has to be sincere. النَّدْمُ تَوْبَةً. If he shows sorrow, if he shows remorse, if he shows sorrow and he shows remorse, he will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very, very forgiving. And this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. There is no sin too big or too small for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive sins, irrespective of what kind of sin that is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive each sin except shirk. This is the only thing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive. If a person dies having committed shirk, and he's still on shirk, he is still associating partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will not be forgiven. Every other sin will be forgiven, except that. وَمَنْ يَكْسِبْ إِثْمًا فَإِنَّمَا يَكْسِبُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا. And whoever commits, whoever perpetrates a sin, so this person, he has perpetrated nothing except for himself. He has misguided himself, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-knowing and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all-wise. Inshallah, we'll stop over here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq and understanding. Jazakallah khairan wa da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.